Thank you, Mike. I call the meeting to order, City of University Heights City Council meeting. Today is February 11th, 2025. And welcome, everyone. Roll call. All council is here except Nick Herbold, who's at his son's award ceremony tonight. And so then the next order of business is approval of minutes of January 14th. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, the minutes are approved by unanimous consent. Okay, public input. Comments from the public. Would anyone from the public like to speak? Ryan, no. Is anyone on?
Just Troy.
Just Troy?
And I did not receive any correspondence either.
Okay, thank you. Then we'll go ahead and go to the mayor's report. And the first order of business is Resolution 2503, appointing Terry Gert to perform inspector services concerning the enforcement of the city's rental housing code, zoning ordinance, building code, and related codes and ordinances, and authorizing the mayor to sign and the clerk to agreement, and with a compensation of $24,000. And Steve sent you the actual contract. And in talking to Terry, I talked to him about who's been answering calls about building permits since February 1, because you know we had Brian Jensen covering January, and he said he's been taking phone calls about it, and he's got two building permits that are being lined up. And so I told Steve that I think it'd be a good idea to be retroactive to February 1st. His contract starts February 1st instead of, as it stated, February 11th. And then, you know, Terry was a part-time city employee and he was paid $20,700 approximately annually. And then with this, he was also paid, his payroll taxes were paid by the city and any benefits. And so now with this new contract, you know, as Steve states, he's an independent contractor. And so I confirmed this with Steve Cool that paying him $24,000 without benefits and without paying his taxes would be appropriate. So we're really not increasing his salary any more than we had. And so he asked me if he should be here tonight. And I said, you've worked for the city a long time. We know the excellent work you've done for us. And he's a phone call away if you have any questions for him. And Steve, did you want to add anything with?
No, the contract terms are virtually identical to the prior contract. That's the only thing I would add.
Okay, so consideration of Resolution 2503 is before the council. With the addition of retroactive to February 1. Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is there a motion? Motion by Tim. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Steph. Any further discussion? Roll call vote.
Gunn.
Aye.
Herbold absent. Moore.
Aye.
Schroeder.
Aye.
Swales.
Aye.
Motion carries 4-0, 1 absent.
Thank you. So, city attorney report, do you have anything to add, Steve?
No.
Okay. Is there any questions for the attorney? Okay, we'll go on to city administrator. And thanks for joining us there from the sunshine in the desert. Hi, Troy.
Can you hear me okay? Can you hear me?
Yeah, perfect.
Okay. I would like to take just a few minutes. I know we're in a hurry, but I would like to take a few minutes to go through my report. I'm going to start with item 2, the agreement in principle with the city regarding reapportionment of transit costs. This is something that began to occur prior to my coming on as city administrator. The city manager from Iowa City had a conversation with Mayor Fromm. Our contribution to transit costs has become more and more skewed. And by any evaluation, it was pretty clear that we weren't contributing a fair share. I sat down with Jeff Fruin and Transit, and we went through a bunch of comparatives. It's just hard to find a decent comparative for University Heights. It really, really is. We looked at Cedar Rapids and Marion. We looked at Waterloo and Cedar Falls. Rock Island, Appleton, Racine. We even looked at a transit in Canada. And what we found is that we were, depending on what comparative you use, ridership, miles, number of stops, population-based, we were anywhere from, we should be contributing up to 234% more than we were contributing. That is a huge change. In the end, Jeff Fruin and I had some conversations, and I felt that the best comparative, both right in the here and now and also moving forward, was a population-based comparative, which will result in an increase of 30% from University Heights. I also, even though it's only 30% and not 234%, discussed it with Jeff, and I may or may not have an email that I've received since I've been gone, but he agreed in principle that stair step, that increase would be stair stepped over the next three fiscal years. So we will pay an additional 10% roughly this fiscal year, upcoming fiscal year, and then the following two fiscal years. Just for reference, the numbers that I looked at were back in FY24. So that I actually had some numbers that I could look at, and just for council's knowledge, we paid a little over $45,000 in FY24. So our costs will increase by less than $5,000 this year, and then approximately that over the next 2 years. Before I signed off on that, I spoke with city accountant with Steve Cool, made sure I discussed our transit levy with him, and he assured me that our transit levy and our, what we had currently levied and what we had available to us would more than cover those costs. So long story short, I wanted you to know about that increase. I think it's important, and Mayor Fromm and I had a conversation. I think it's important that we continue to contribute a fair share, yet at the same time be fiscally responsible. So anyway, that's an update on our transit costs. Now, if anybody has any questions about that, I'd be glad to answer them. Item number three, FY25 budget items. Councillor Gaughan, Chris Akers, Chief Akers, and I, and John Brown has been part of those conversations, have been discussing COLAs, cost of living increases for officers, for the last several years, increasing the city's contribution, if possible, towards family plans. Insurance family plans has been important. It just hasn't been feasible given the change, sometimes as much as 31%, the increase in family insurance or just insurance costs, period. I bring that up because I want to skip now. I want to move on to item number four. As of January of this year, insurance costs unexpectedly dropped 50.93%. And that is a huge drop. We have budgeted just over 62,000. And as John Brown explained to me and visualized it for me, this is a bucket of money that we not only have budgeted toward insurance costs, but we have levied toward insurance costs. And it needs to be spent on insurance costs. So we budgeted just over 62,000, of which through the first half of the fiscal year, we've spent less than half of that for a variety of reasons. We were short-staffed during that time, so we were only paying. There was one officer that we weren't paying insurance for, plus no officers had opted into the family plan. Just as a reminder to counselors, officer employment package includes the city paying for their employee-only health insurance, or if they opt into a family insurance plan, the city will contribute 50% of the additional costs to that family plan. So with this nearly 51% decrease, the employee-only costs went from $1,172 a month to $575 a month, or expressed a different way, a $597 a month savings per officer on the employee-only plan. Three officers this year, because of reduced family costs, have opted into the family plan. The family plan, the additional costs above and beyond the employee-only coverage are $863, of which the city pays half, or $432. We are trying to work so that the city contributes more towards that family plan beginning with the next fiscal year in July. However, the city is uniquely positioned right now to make that additional contribution of 75% towards the plan instead of 50%. If the city increased their contribution towards a family plan to 75%, that cost would be an additional $216 per month for the three officers, Sergeant Daryl Tucker, Officer RJ, and then our new officer, Matt. So $216 a month for each of those officers towards those family plans. But the city is saving $597 a month on all officers. So even with that additional contribution, which is something that we were trying to negotiate and make happen moving into the future, even with that additional contribution, the city would still be underspending. They still would not be spending that bucket of money as John Brown explained it to me. It is specifically dedicated and earmarked for insurance benefits. So I would ask that the city, that the councilors consider passing on some of the savings the city's realizing this latter half of this fiscal year. They will still end up underspending that particular line of the budget. And it's just a good time for us to negotiate this moving forward. University Heights has what I think is a fair compensation plan, including both salary and benefits. But we contribute less towards insurance, towards family plans than any other area agency. And just because of the reduction in cost this year, it seems like a good time for us to make that adjustment. And whether we do it moving forward from now, or we make it retroactive to the beginning of the fiscal year for this fiscal year budget, and then make those adjustments more permanent in the next contract, if you will, is really up to council. I talked to John Brown about this. He did not make the adjustments relative to the new insurance costs for officers in January, in part because I asked him not to. He said it would be easier to make one adjustment moving forward than making an adjustment in January and then making another adjustment in February, depending on what you all did. So again, my ask is that the city increase its contribution for the three officers that opted in a family plan. That will result in a $216 additional payment towards the family plan, yet the city is realizing nearly a $600 savings on every officer because the reduction in costs on the employee plan. I know that's confusing, but if there's any questions, I would be glad to answer them. This is money that's already budgeted specifically for that item. I had communication with Mayor Fromm. I'm not sure what action is actually required since we would still be spending the money towards the item that's budgeted. Mayor, I'll defer to you on that.
I spoke with the city attorney 10 minutes ago. He said, let's vote. So we'll have a simple motion and second. So did you want to make the motion?
Make the motion?
Okay, is there a second?
Okay.
Second by Tim.
Okay.
And any further discussion?
The only thing I would add, Mayor, is since Tim seconded it, is that Tim and I have had conversations about other items as well as this. And I think that it's important that all parties have a stake or skin in the game, I think is the way Tim phrases it. And this still allows that. We still are treating officers well. We're trying to entice them both to come work for us and to continue to work for us, but they still have a contribution. So I think that this is fair all the way.
Thank you.
I think it's a win-win situation for officers and for us as a city.
Yes.
So ready for the vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries 4-0 with one absent.
And the only additional thing I would have to comment on, I'm sorry, Mayor, go ahead.
No, Are you froze?
I think. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
The only additional item that's not on my menu or not on my report that I would comment on in case people have heard rumors or are just curious. Federal grants are all up in the air right now. We did receive an email. The city did receive an email on February 3rd referencing a January 31st court order that's basically freezing grants. There are all sorts of emails and all sorts of information and misinformation going around right now. And this is not a time for there to be any panic or knee-jerk reactions. It's a new administration that is sorting things out, and we just need to see what happens in the future. But this is a whole separate issue. It has nothing to do with insurance, but I just wanted to throw that out there in case you'd seen it in the media or heard about it in your place of employment, that all federal grants are going to stop. I don't believe that is the case. Everything is just being reevaluated at this time.
Any questions for Troy? Okay, thank you, Troy.
Thank you.
We'll go on to the city clerk report, which you circulated. Did you want to add some things?
Only thing I had to add, I mentioned that we switched over to direct biller for paying city as our city payment processor. I was a little concerned. I hadn't seen anything come through that since we'd switched over, but we actually did get somebody paying a parking ticket yesterday. So it is working. We were up to a point where maybe we were getting one or two a week in through our old system. It's still owned by the same company we've dealt with. It's just a different name on the platform. But I can report that we are getting payments through now. But February is a pretty quiet time anyway. So that's all I had. If anybody has any questions.
Okay, thank you, Mike. We'll go to the treasurer's report. And you circulated a lot of items for us.
I did, and I circulated them Sunday around 4 o'clock or something, in case somebody, you guys needed something to do during the Super Bowl. I do have three warrants to add.
Okay.
The engineering services invoice for Shive Hattery. That came in after submitting this warrants in the amount of $5,637.10. That's all their services for January. Century Lake bill for January, $131.28. And from UMB Bank, there's $550 in bond administration fees. Only three things.
Which bank was that?
UMB.
Oh, okay.
Diana Van Fleet.
Thank you. And those are the last three additions for the warrants. Did anyone else have an addition to the warrants? We'll go ahead and no more additions to the warrants. Is there any objection to paying the warrants? Hearing none, the warrants will be paid by unanimous consent. And I think you're going to be talking with Steve Cool here when we get to finance too.
Yes, he's right. Kind of like Batman. I'm Robin.
Oh, okay. So very good. So any questions for John? So we'll go on to Batman here. Discussion of proposed property tax levy rate for the 25-26 budget. And so we'll start there before we get to the public hearing. So Steve, you got the floor.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thanks.
I like it.
Anyway. Okay. Let's see. I think everybody's gotten the copy of the draft copy of the notice of public hearing, which will be taken care of in about 2 to 3 weeks from now. This is still in the discussion phase, but I think we're pretty much ready to move forward. This year compared to last year, it's quite a bit different. One of the big things that affected this, well, actually there were a couple of things involved in here that were larger dollar things. First of all, the local option sales and services tax that became effective January 1. I'll get into that with some numbers and how that works. Basically, what you do for the local option sales tax is half of that has to go to replace levied property taxes. So you'll notice the difference on the form. And then I'm going to go over some numbers just so you have a good idea what the impact of the local option sales tax amount is. So anyway, on the first, the left-hand column with the numbers, current year certified, these are the property taxes levied for this year. About two-thirds the way down on that. Okay, city regular total property tax, that's $1,091,000. The current levy rate on that is $11.835 per taxable $1,000. And the middle column is based on the taxable valuation for fiscal 26, what the levy rate would be as if we asked for the exact same number of dollars. And that is a little lesser, $11.59. That drop is just due to the increase in the taxable value of the property. So that brings us to the right-hand column here. So this is what we're looking at for this next fiscal year. So taxable valuation is just a little over $92 million. And the consolidated general fund, that's the levy that has been restricted by state legislative action over the last couple of years. And so going through the formula and everything that the Department of Management does for us, they give us the maximum amount of tax that we can levy. And for this year, we were allowed to increase that by 2.1% over last year. That's just the general levy. We have five other levies. We have public transit, we have the property and liability insurance, we have Social Security, Medicare, and IPERS, and then other employment benefits, which is health insurance, workers' comp, and state unemployment. And then we also have the debt service levy. So before I get into the final calculation on the right-hand column, we'll start with the local option sales tax here. I think it was about last May or June, I was at the council meeting and presented some very informal numbers, you know, just to get an idea of what we were looking at. And I don't have that information with me, but we figured that if that same amount of local option tax is collected, once we pull into the participate in that, we would get somewhere around $235,000 or something like that. Well, Tiffin went on local option tax. Was that July 1 of last summer? Okay. So what I early first week of January, second week of January, to get an idea of what that might be for next year, I had Louise get hold of three of the city administrators of the six participants, and they gave her the numbers, what they had collected for the 6 months, July through December, and Louise gave it to me. And so I was able to calculate the split, you know, for those right now, what their percentage is. And so I took each city's collection, divided it backwards by their percentage, and came up with a real big number. They were all within $32 of each other. And the amount, when I worked it backwards, was $1.44 million or something like that, which means that for this year, up through this coming June 30th, it's estimated that there's going to be like $2.9 million currently collected within the participating entities. So Tiffin coming in to the pool has put a lot of money into the pile. So then what I did, I just, and this will be for the budget, we're just going to assume that that amount, something like $2.94 million or something, that will just be the base to figure what we're going to get for next year. And if we take that number times our 12.75%, we're looking at getting somewhere around $375,000, not $238,000. So it's a significant boost, which is going to make a big difference, a lot more than what we were kind of discussing 6-8 months ago. So anyway, out of that $375,000, one half of it, $187,500, may be used for any legal purpose of the city. The other 50% must be used for property tax relief, which is to replace the levies. So anyway, we have $187,500 to divide up. So for fiscal 26, what we have to do, and John and I worked on this, so I don't know, we met what, 3 times or 4 times on it, something like that. It's
I think. Three times in person, but then we
a
couple of phone calls and emails. And...
Yeah. So anyway, there's a lot more involved in this. So anyway, first step on this is to figure what those levies would be without the local option sales tax money, just like we've always done. We're going to calculate that last column the way we've done it past 3 years. So that's the starting point. Then when I reach that point there, now we have $187,500 to apply against that. So what we allocated was out of that,
the first allocation was to wipe out the debt service levy.
Yeah, the debt service was the largest portion of that, and that was right at about $129,000. So down, one's right here, way down the bottom, debt service on the right hand column there, we went from $128,000 to zero. So there will be no debt service levy. The remaining, whatever that is, $58,000. We allocated it out. Before we allocated it, I called my friend Ted Nelson at the Department of Management and asked him if there was a specific pecking order or any rules or anything, if you have to start with one over the other. And he said, nope, you're free to apply it wherever you want to. So obviously, because the very first tax amount, the unconsolidated general fund, which is what's limited by the state legislation, we really don't want to apply any against that, because if we did, then we're stuck with that going forward. So what we have to work on is the other levies. The other levies are based on actual expenses. So like for the transit, we use the City of Iowa City contract and an allowance for seats. Payroll taxes are all based on payroll. The benefits is the health insurance and projecting that out. And then the debt service. So we started with the debt service. And so out of that $57,000, what I did, the numbers on the right-hand column, transit, Up there is 48,535. That's a little bit more than the year before. Liability insurance, same thing, a little bit more. And then when we get down into the two payroll levies there, we still have about $54,500 to allocate to that. So obviously with you know, the police department getting back to full staffing, health insurance,
IPERS,
yeah, IPERS on that, and then that made a big factor there also. I think over about the last year or so, most of the health insurance bill every month has just been single coverage for the officers. I think we may have had one that was family, but it was predominantly just single coverage. So it wasn't a big check to write. Well, now we have, I believe, was it three officers? That were...
Well, three officers opting for family coverage, yes. But Chief Akers was great in providing us some historical rates, like going all the way back to 2018. And we noticed we had a similar occurrence in 2018, where there was a 35% drop in insurance rates. Like, okay, this year was almost like 50.9% drop. That was like, and then it's like, okay, what happened the following year? Oh, there's an overcorrection. So what we did is, you know, we use the actual rates that we have from Wellmark forecasting, you know, July through December. And then we took January, I took January through June. So, okay, give me 24 rates plus 5%. So that's the modeling that we did to come up with the, for some of the other health employee benefits. And then we offset that increase with some of this lost money.
Yeah, and just the decrease in the health insurance rates just happened to fall in our lap at the perfect time to fit this local option sales tax in. So when you compare our proposed levies for this next year compared to where we're at now, they're really not moving a whole lot. So, well, obviously the debt service is wiped out, but the other ones, we were looking at gross estimated costs of the payroll taxes, IPERS, $103,000, other employee benefits, which would be the health insurance, workers' comp, with based on, you know, full family cost for three officers was about $100,000. That was a significant amount of increase in the cost. Fortunately, we have $54,000 of lost money that we can just offset that. So the long and short is on the city regular tax rate, currently that's our levy, $11.83. Over on the right hand column, we're going down to $10 and just short of 44 cents. So it's $1.40 less per taxable thousand. So to translate what that means and how that fits in, it's obviously with the property tax bill that the property owners pay. Your property tax bill is combined tax levies from the school district, the county, the city, Kirkwood College, emergency management, and there's maybe two or three other smaller levies. The assessor's one, there's like two other real small ones. So what this affects is our slice of the University Heights portion of the pie. And so at $1.40 per taxable thousand, if you had I'll make this a little easier on the math. Let's say the rollback is 50%. What that means is if you have a property that's assessed at market value at 400,000, it gets rolled back to 200,000 for taxation. So you take your number of thousands, which is 200 times $1.40, that's going to reduce
280.
The city share of that slice by $280 approximately for a person that has a $400,000 property. I can't speak to what the county and the school district and everybody else is going to do. It's pure speculation if your true property tax bill is going to go down, stay the same, or go up. It depends on the other players in the pie. But at least what we can say is we've done our effort to push that down and try to take a little bit of the bite out of everybody's property tax. And that's how the whole local option sales tax thing works. Everybody all shares in getting a little bit of relief on the property tax. So that's why we have a levy rate of only $10.44 for next year versus $11.84.
Being 10 for a long time. It's been just over 11 for years.
Mm-hmm.
And then a little.
Yeah, we've just gradually gone up and up.
Yeah,
and
that's
up.
Awesome.
So it really, I mean, for a person that doesn't spend any money at all in the participating entities in the local option, if you never go to Tiffin and spend money, and the other six entities, I mean, you get some money off of your share of the city tax, city property tax. So, I mean, you can't beat that. So, well, that's how that all works. So, anyway, we're just going to take another final look at everything and make sure that these will be good. Also, when it comes to the payroll taxes and the benefits, we don't want to make sure we're shorting ourselves. I mean, it would be nice if we can, have these same health insurance bills for several years, but given how it seems to correct itself after a big adjustment, either up or down, I think, like John said, it's probably the safest to take current and maybe bump it up a little bit, for the second half next year. If we over collect, we just have to apply that, in the employee benefits, just carry it forward. And that also applies to right now for the period up through this June 30th, we're going to collect some local option sales tax. We'll just have to kind of set half of that aside and work it into future years also to reduce the levy. So anyway, the notice of the public hearing needs to be completed. The regulations say March 15th. The Department of Management recommends that they be completed by March 4th online and have that prepared. Once the proposal is prepared, the Department of Management has that information. So probably the last week of February, between John and I, we will get this finished up. Yeah, there's a little bit of details, phone number and things to put on, and we'll get the PDF made so that can be published for public notice. Public hearing notice will come out between March 12th and March 22nd, and April 1st meeting is where we will formally approve this. So that's it's quite a change from last year. I mean, just the volume of information and where to apply stuff. I also, we also did apply $4,000 against the transit too. So instead of a 10% cost, it's a little less there. So
Did you have anything else to add? You're wearing green too, Robin. I think Robin wore some green, didn't he?
Nothing else I had to
add. Yeah. You guys, I know, have been working really hard on this and meeting quite a bit. Appreciate all your work on this. This is good. And I know you're both very conservative with this number. I mean, this is your best estimate and conservative. That local option sales and service tax is amazing. I was shocked at the numbers that I got from some of the cities.
I knew it would go up, but to go up by that much.
Yeah.
Well, but then when you start to think, there's a lot of stuff going up in Tiffin.
It's good.
Especially, you know, the Pin Seekers. There's a lot more retail outlets going up in Tiffin. Yeah. So anyway, that's what I had.
Anybody have questions about any of that to review? And then because you're working to schedule this for April 1st, the public hearing, and that's what the resolution is that Steve sent you, the number 2502, resolution number 20, setting a public hearing at 7 p.m. April 1st. On the proposed city maximum tax dollars and levy for FY25-26 budget. So I'll entertain a motion. Motion by Lisa, is there a second? Second by Doug. Discussion. Okay, roll call vote.
Moore?
Aye.
Schroeder?
Aye.
Swales?
Aye.
Gahn?
Aye.
Herbold absent. Motion carries 401 absent.
Okay, very good. Thank you. And could you just review a little bit about what you're going to do in March at the March 11th meeting?
March 11th meeting is going to be pretty much discussion of the full budget. We still have some information, you know, to gather yet. Well, let's see, we've got the streets, capital projects, so forth.
Right.
We have some of the police operating expenses to get, some of the general administrative, and then like the technology costs.
We're not going to go line by line. We're group them, and unless people have questions on every line or whatever. So, and you'll send that.
I can probably send you a list tomorrow or Thursday as to what's left to get.
Oh, okay, good.
I think one of them on there was.
We're almost done.
Like Iowa League of Cities, I think, was one.
Oh, sure.
So there's a few of those that,
yeah, you
know, it's just a phone call to get the information. But
they're smaller.
For the bulk of what we have done so far, it's the biggest dollar volume. We're just filling in these other things, you know. So
okay, thank you. And I met with Nick earlier in the month, and you know, he was going to his son's award ceremony tonight, and we pushed some of his issues we were going to discuss with Josh Schomburger, and Ryan Anderson was here, about the trail system, and we're also going to talk about the Convention Visitors Bureau report. So we'll have a little longer meeting in March because we'll cover both those issues then. And thank you very much for doing that. We'll go on to community protection and Chief Akers read your report today.
And to the report, I don't believe. I will say that the officers will appreciate your vote on the health care. It makes things like that make it so much ease. Working in this community is attractive to begin with, because it's a fun community. It's an enjoyable community to interact with. But things like that make it even easier for us to attract people and to retain people. So I don't have anything more to add to the report. Any questions?
Thank you very much. Did you have anything to add? I know you've been going to a lot of meetings this month working with it.
Nope.
Thanks, Steph. Okay, we'll go on to engineer report. And Doug and Ryan.
Yeah, I didn't have anything to add to my written report. It's pretty brief this month. So unless there's any questions, I owe Steve Cool some information on budget stuff. And the next week here, I plan to get that to him. So we'll be working hard on those things.
Did you have anything to add?
I hope the snow piles are all running tomorrow night.
Okay. Me too. And thank you very much. We'll go on to building, zoning, and sanitation. Do you have anything to add? Oh, you guys, I'm loving all of your reports here tonight. Thank you. And we'll go to e-government. And Lisa, you sent around a report. Thanks for organizing all that with Troy. That looks great. And but I do have an announcement. Believe it or not, we're going to go down to there. And, you know, every year emergency management does a weather spotter training class, and they're very, very popular. If you want to be a weather spotter, the class is Wednesday, March 26th from 6:30 to 9:30 at Kirkwood Regional Center, University of Iowa Center in Coralville. It's on Oakdale Boulevard. It usually was at the EMA, but there's going to be 125 seating. It's very popular, but an RSVP is required, and you can reserve a seat at, you have to email jec, jecc-ema.org. And I'll give something to Lisa to put on the website, because weather spotters, I tried to talk my husband into it, he's not interested, but there's people that are very interested in being weather spotters. So I thought I'd share that. And we do have a few in University Heights. I've noticed when they show snowfalls, if you kind of in University Heights.
Where was the location on that?
It's at the, I'll give you this sheet of paper, but it's at the University of Iowa Center.
Oh, on Regional Oakdale. Center. Yeah. Regional Center.
Kirkwood okay. Regional Center. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there. And there's the address. Okay. Is there any objection to adjournment? Hearing none, the meeting is adjourned by unanimous consent. Thanks, everyone.